Well, hello again. Tis myself, Miles McKee, with the Gospel Truth Podcast. I'm so delighted that you're able to join with us. And I want to continue speaking about grace. Grace. And I want to deal with a little subject which, it's a little bit difficult. I've entitled this Law and Terrors versus the Gospel. Okay, look, we believe in the law of God. Believe it's wonderful. Thou shalt not, and thou shalt. Yeah, it's all true. And Jesus is our law keeper. Remember that. He has kept the law. Okay, we believe in the law. But the law by itself, by the way, did you know this? The law cannot save anyone. No one. The law, no. You preach the Ten Commandments to people, and they may agree, and they may get all convicted, and all, but they can't get saved, because Jesus is the Savior, not the Ten Commandments. So why do so many of our new breed of street evangelists major on the law, and not on the Gospel? Look, the law on its best day is anemic and weak by comparison to the preaching of Christ crucified. Now, by the way, don't think for a moment that I'm against street preaching. I'm not. I've done plenty of open-air preaching myself. But there's a new breed out there, and although they say, well, yeah, we're saved by grace, some of them have a list of do's and don'ts to give us before we're qualified to receive the Gospel. So consider this. When we tell unbelievers, now, are you listening? I'm going to say something a bit controversial to you. But when we tell unbelievers to give their hearts to Jesus, we are preaching law to them. We are giving them the legalistic formula of put something in and you'll get something out. In this case, it's give something, give your heart, and you'll get something back. Salvation. So you give, God then gives. Is this gospel preaching? No, it's gospel preaching in full throttle reverse. Salvation is a gift, and we don't give something to God to get a gift. We accept the free gift of salvation, receiving by faith God's gift, Jesus himself. We do not give anything. We don't. Otherwise, it's not grace. Now, notice the scripture tells us that God is the giver. Romans 8:32. Mark this down. Romans 8:32. It says, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? He will freely give all things. How many things? One or two things? No, all things. And it's after we're saved that we continually give him our hearts, but not because we're doing so to gain something for it, but because of our response to the gospel, our response to the love of God. It's not our response to the law. Law can show us our terrible need, but it cannot save us. Even for the believer, the preaching of the law will not cause us to grow the slightest bit in grace. Charles Spurgeon said it like this. I've often striven to overcome sin by the thought of the punishment attached to it, but I have very seldom found myself in a frame of mind in which my heart would receive that reason. I believe that to the most of us, the terrors of the law, although they ought to be exceedingly terrible, but they have but little power to check us from sin. He said that in Sermon 208, Religious Hatred. As the old hymn says, law and terrors do but harden, all the while they work alone. But the sense of blood-bought freedom will dissolve the heart of stone.
But what about repentance? Don't we command people to repent and then believe?
Thank you for that. Look, the word repentance signifies in the Greek language a change of mind. It's a great truth. We should never be afraid to tell people about repentance. However, this word repentance in the preaching of some is more associated with law than gospel. Well, some people make it that way. So let's ask, does repentance come through the law, or does repentance come through the gospel? Well, according to some, we must first get repentance, and then, once we get repentance, we're qualified to believe the gospel. But is this true? If this is the truth of the matter, it means that salvation comes through law, and not by grace. For there's something we must do first, according to this theory. There's something we must do first in order to qualify for grace. When repentance is placed before faith as a qualification for faith, the gospel has been plundered. Faith and repentance go together. They are related. Yes, Acts 20:21, but we dare not make the mistake of insisting that repentance in any sense is a preliminary qualification for faith. Old John Calvin, he said, it must be reckoned a settled point that repentance not only immediately follows upon faith, but springs out of it. Hey, it's not your qualification. Where does Calvin say that? Institutes. Book 3, chapter 3, section 1. Justifying faith is the means of true repentance. Yeah, that's where you get repentance from, the gospel. God asks us for nothing in return for salvation, not even our repentance. He is the giver. We are the receivers. Did you hear that? He is the giver. God is the giver. We are the receivers. Listen again to Romans 8:32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely, also freely, give us all things? He gives, we receive. He gives, we receive. You know, those who read up on the history of revivals also often get fascinated by the subject of the terrors of the conscience. Some people, or some folks, have gone so far as to say that, oh, we need this kind of thing today. So it's true that terror of the conscience may sometimes go before faith. But this kind of terror is not to be confused with repentance. Indeed, the truth is this: terrors of conscience and the law have the tendency to draw men away from the cross, not to the cross. Let me illustrate. Several hundred years ago in Northern Ireland, a Presbyterian minister by the name of Glendinning began to preach in a place called Six Mile Water, County Antrim. Well, in the accounts I've read, Glendinning arrived and seen the lewdness and ungodly sinfulness of the people. He preached to them nothing but law, wrath, the terrors of God for sin. And multitudes were brought to cry out in terror and swoon under the word. And many were carried out of the doors as if dead. Oh, you said that's a great revival. No, it wasn't a revival, because no one was getting saved. Why? The reason is that the poor minister knew only the law, not the gospel, and eventually neighboring ministers came to help in this situation, and they brought the stricken people to an understanding of grace and salvation. You can check this out. I read this in the History of the Irish Presbyterian Church. The editors were Reverend Marcus Dodds, D.D., and Reverend Alexander White, D.D. Listen to me. True sorrow for sin is gospel birth. It comes from apprehending the mercy and grace of God in Christ. And the broken heart is the result of our believing the gospel of God's free grace, free love in the death of and resurrection of his Son. And nothing will melt the heart like a view of Christ and his dying love. Oh, what a dangerous anti-gospel business it is to get convictions and terrors as preliminaries to believing the gospel. If God sovereignly does, that's fine. But the preacher who insists that sinners can only find gospel peace if they get anxious, first of all, and get convicted enough, such a person preaching that is an enemy of the cross of Christ. And furthermore, those who insist that the sinner must pray through for conviction of sin and pursue endless amounts of self-examination and self-improvement in order to believe in Christ, they're teaching the very essence of a false gospel. Christ Jesus asks no preparation of any kind whatsoever, whether outward or inward, for us to come to him. If a person will not come as he is, he cannot come at all. It is not self-prepared or self-degraded people whom Jesus receives. Do you know who he receives? Sinners. He receives sinners. That's you. That's me. He came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Luke 5:32. This man receives people who've undergone the terrors. No, this man receives sinners. Luke 15:2. And here's something else. How we begin is how we continue. As believers, we continue to come to God as we did in the beginning, with nothing in ourselves to recommend us. We continue to come to God by Christ alone, plus nada. Plus nothing. This means that as believers, we dare not trust in our accomplishments or our trust in our doctrinal rectitude and think that these things will win us favor at God's throne. Nor do we need to make vast improvements in our character to qualify us to come to God, to qualify us to pray to Jesus. We are called to trust that in and by Jesus Christ alone, one perfect, unchangeable, unalterable work has been accomplished on our behalf. Through that one offering of Christ, our consciences are made perfect. Hebrews 9:7-15. Read it. Check it out. At this very moment, through the gospel, we have such an assurance of being set apart for God by the blood of Christ that we can approach him boldly and in full liberty without efforts of self-improvement. Check it out, Hebrews 4:16. Our sins are already purged, Hebrews 1:3, and nothing offensive, whether guilt or defilement, rests upon us. We can't improve upon our standing with our vain pledges to recommit, rededicate, redouble your efforts. No. So great is the power of Christ that those he has already sanctified by his blood cannot be separated from him. Hebrews 10:10, Romans 8:35-39. And as gospel believers, we learn to define ourselves. Listen, we define ourselves by the finished work, not by our sins and failures. Hey, that's grace. And we are living in it. And that is the gospel truth. I'm so glad that you were with us today. If this has been helpful, and it would be helpful to anyone else that you know, send it on to them. It's free. Send it on. Send it all over the world. It's a great day and age in which we live. We can communicate with so many people. So listen, if spiritually I can help you, If you want to talk about anything, you can write to me, miles@milesmckee.com. Miles, M-I-L-E-S, at milesmckee.com. We put out a Wednesday word each week. If you'd like to get it, just write to me, miles@milesmckee.com. And just put in the subject bar, subscribe, and we'll send it to you every week. Okay, until next time, may the Lord make his face to shine upon you in Jesus' name.